All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good.
We have a special guest in studio with us tonight.
I
guess we can announce him as well.
Sitting in the third chair, too bad he works on Wednesdays, is Pervert Ken.
Yes. I mean, no. Shit.
Welcome back, PK.
Thank you, sir.
PK. PK.
I'm trying. I'm trying to... No?
Nah, I don't think I'm feeling PK.
Not even a little bit like...
Why don't you just call him Ken?
All right. How about Ken is here with us in the studio.
Yes. Like it's wonderful to have him here. On Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 216, Drawing the Line.
That
is it really
is right.
216?
It is really 216.
Huh. I don't know why. I feel like I keep losing an episode somewhere along the line.
Nope. Last week was 215.
One would assume if this is 216.
216.
Gotcha.
I'm just
thank you for helping me with the basic math.
Hey, you know, I'm doing my best.
Hey, I'm going to go out on a limb and say next week, 217.
Now, see, you can never make that assumption with this show.
Okay.
Because
if all
next
things,
episode could be 230.
If all things remain equal, then it could be 216.
It could very well be 217.
217. See? I'm already confused. In any event, Drawing the Line is what we're calling this one, and we'll get to it in the news tonight, which starts right now.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
So we can do Marvel. Oh, you want to start right off
with
that?
Go with it. And DC, in what I consider a brilliant marketing move, brilliant marketing move, is now we've talked about the price wars.
We have.
And the price reductions where DC has taken the lead and, of course, Marvel following along, you know, as best as they can.
Well, good for DC.
DC's brand new ad campaign is called Drawing the Line at $2.99. And they're supporting this maneuver with posters.
Right.
A big, giant, full-color poster. We have one here in Studio A. And honestly, I don't know who did the art. I like it. It's pretty cool. It's got Green Lantern in the lead, which is interesting because Green Lantern is never in the lead in anything.
Except that we're coming off of...
And still in the middle of, really.
And right, we're coming off of Darkest Night,
right.
And we're in the middle of Brightest Day. So right. I think he kind of is at the forefront of the DC Universe right
and
now.
And not only that, but the feature film is coming very soon. And so on and so forth. But not far behind him, of course, are the Holy Trinity of Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman.
Correct.
The Flash also appears. Aquaman, some reason.
You always have to put Aquaman. Is Plastic Man in there?
I don't see Plastic
now,
Man.
Now, see, that's just a travesty.
I see some of the Titans. I see Green Arrow.
Oh, well,
oh
that's
no,
a good
Plastic
thing.
Man is there.
See?
Sir. In any
there.
Event, listen, you like DC promotional posters?
This
go
is
over to
again.
The GVM line.
Oh, 425-920-6050.
Yeah, we're going to give this poster away. So call the GVM line and say, I want the Drawing the Line at $2.99 poster. And you're going to receive that poster.
We'll pick a winner at random.
Winner at random.
I'm going to cheat and dial that up right now.
No, no, Ken, you are not qualified.
Ah.
Even if you dialed... Right this second, it would still be winner at random.
Yep, that's true, too.
Bah.
Roll a d20, minus one for Ken's entry.
That's it. That's the winner. and DC is, it's more than just a rollback. It's a statement. They're putting it out there for everyone to see that they are drawing the line, no pun intended, at $2.99 with the pricing. There's no need for these books to keep soaring up and up in price. Some Marvel books are up to $4 a pop.
Now, is the $2.99, because I'm a little confused on this, is the $2.99 the base price for the regular books? Or are there still some books that hit that $3.99 mark, or like Vertigo books, or is it $2.99 is the capper?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know the specific details of the program to that extent. My understanding is, though, if I'm understanding it correctly, it seems like at least the DC Universe, the Hero Universe stuff, is $2.99.
Okay.
Now, whether that extends to Vertigo or other things, I'm not sure. What I am sure is that DC is supporting this maneuver, like we said, with posters, shelf talkers, shelf cards, and other promotional type things to let everybody know that they are taking a stand on this pricing issue. And I got to hand it to DC. It's a brilliant, fan-friendly maneuver.
Oh, sure.
Unlike other maneuvers, which we will discuss later in comics.
We always discuss that later in comics. Monolith is later in products.
No, that's later in product. Yeah, we'll discuss bad moves later. I'm going to give you a preview of it right now. Okay, so that's your preview.
Wow, that was only for me and Ken. Uh-huh. And if you heard my disgruntled...
yes. So...
All right, well, why don't we stick with DC-related news?
Okay.
Then? And this is the big news of the day. This is the epic news of the day.
Uh-huh.
This is the Christopher Nolan, The Dark Knight Rises news of the day.
This is a good and a what?
Okay, I'm gonna agree with you on the good and the what. This, of course, I know every one of you has heard this at this point, likely, but we're gonna talk about it because you want to know our opinions, presumably. Anne Hathaway as Selina Kyle.
Uh huh.
And Tom Hardy, is that his name?
Tom Hardy.
Yep. As Bane.
Now, let me point out two distinctions here.
Okay.
It was not released that Anne Hathaway would be Catwoman.
Correct.
Only that she was going to be in the
Selena
film.
She was going to be Selena Kyle. It does not mention her as being Catwoman.
So there is still some speculation that she could be Talia al Ghul.
No.
Oh, because that's what I've been hearing.
No, she's Selina. What do you think? Selina Kyle is Talia al Ghul?
Oh, no. Oh, was she definitely confirmed as Selina Kyle?
As Selina Kyle.
Locked as Selina Kyle, yep.
But no mention was made of her as Catwoman.
So it could be just setting up the Catwoman relationship?
Well, I guess. I mean, I don't know why you would set that up on your last movie.
Well, we'll talk about that after this.
Right. And then the second thing was Tom Hardy is Bane. Now, the specific thing there is they said... Our take on Bane.
Correct.
So we don't know what that is going to mean yet either.
Well, I've heard a couple of different things. I've heard a couple of people speculate. Now, of course, this is all speculation.
Right.
We know Bane, but
the
everything else is speculation.
The two facts that we know are Anne Hathaway's been cast as Selina Kyle, and that Tom Hardy has been cast as Bane. That's it. Anything else other than that is speculative. They have said nothing else.
Right. Now, I've heard some people speculate that they think that it's going to be a combination of Hugo Strange and Bane, being that they're going to go with the Brain's psychic, not psychic, but Brain's psyche kind of in your right. head character of Hugo Strange, and they're going to introduce Venom as a product.
Right.
Which will make him into Bane, which obviously would be a bastardization of two different characters. And then I've also heard that you know, that he's not going to be a monstrosity of Bane, that he's more than likely going to be played down as far as his overall size.
Right.
More brains than brawn, you're thinking, as opposed to what they did with Batman and Robin and that travesty.
Right.
No, more brawns than brain.
Mm. In the Tom Hardy version?
In the Tom Hardy version.
Hmm.
That's what I think.
I don't know. We'll see.
You want my honest opinion about Bane? I think it's steroids. I think he's a guy with steroid rage. I think that's what they're going to.
You don't
end
think
up playing.
With the realistic
Venom?
Angle they're doing? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but that could be a Venom. Could be a street name
for the steroid,
a brand new steroid.
Okay. Yeah, let's assume that it's Selina Kyle as Catwoman for a second.
Okay,
I'm okay with that.
I am too.
Anne
Hathaway's hot.
I'm a little concerned with Bane. I'm not a huge Bane fan.
Right.
Like, as a villain overall, I know he's the guy that broke Batman's back.
He's a one-note
but
character.
Exactly. That's why it's got to be Christopher Nolan's take on the character of Bane, which he has said, so we're okay with that. But, right, Bane is really kind of like hack and slash.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of dimension to the character that is traditionally Bane.
Right.
I mean, now granted, I haven't read every incarnation of Bane that's ever been written in the Batman mythos.
But what
I know of him is that he's hack and slash.
Yeah. They fleshed him out. I mean, he's more than just some dude that shows up, I am the Snake Man, and then Batman kills him in that episode, arrests him in that episode, or gets him, defeats him in that episode, and then you never see him again. He clearly has more of a history and a fleshing out than that.
Right. But I understand that.
By and large, it's kind of an interesting maneuver, especially since when we first heard Hugo Strange, and we mentioned the book. I don't remember what the story is now that we mentioned, but since then, all copies of the book have suddenly become worth hundreds of dollars. We mentioned that also. The issues where Hugo was introduced in Legends of the Dark Knight, I think, back in the 90s.
Well, that's likely just the collector's market pushing it up based on the rumors.
Right. And that story, I thought, would stand alone perfectly well. So why now, and I put this on Facebook, has Nolan jumped the shark? Because, you know, Nolan has said that he would never do the movies like the old movies, and here we are in the third movie, and here we are talking about three villains in the movie.
Three?
Three. Catwoman.
Right.
Bane. And Hugo Strange.
Oh, no, but I think Hugo Strange is going to be out of the picture.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, no, I do. I think, because the rumor was Hardy was going to play Hugo Strange. So if Hardy is playing Bane, then who's left to play Hugo Strange? No, I think...
Could be somebody not cast yet?
No, I think... I mean, that's a possibility, but I think Hugo Strange is out of the picture. If it's definitely Bane, I think Hugo Strange is out of the picture. I think what we're left with is Selina Kyle and Bane.
And his take is, his realist take on it, I don't know that he's the type to over-villain. I mean, look what happened with Dark Knight.
We have an
appearance from Scarecrow.
Yeah, yeah.
We may have the same treatment with Bane. You know, Tom Hardy could be in it for all of 15 minutes for all we know.
That's very true.
That's also a possibility.
So you don't want to discount that possibility based on the fact that the last time we reached, you know, sort of what should have been the end of the road,
right,
for those movies, but then we had one more.
Well, you know the problem with that with that thought process, though, Ken, in saying that he could be in it for all of 15 minutes. My concern with that goes back to the beginning of this conversation, where she was announced as Selina Kyle and not as Catwoman.
Right.
Which would lead, which if we go on the principle that maybe she doesn't actually become Catwoman during the course of the movie, well, then you have to make the assumption that Bane is the main villain. No? I mean, is my thought process flawed there?
You're only in the sense that you're taking today's announcement as the end of the announcements. You know, well, he's announced Selina Kyle and he's announced Bane, and you're taking that as, and that's the end. I don't think that's the truth.
There's a wealth of more news. Right now, it's just, hooray, we've got people cast and we know who's playing what.
I think the Hugo Strange thing is way too good for them to not incorporate. It's exactly the direction they need to go after the last movie, I think, in my opinion. So the big question is, are we going to get more announcements? And clearly we're going to. But I think for right now, I think we have to wait and just enjoy or try to figure out how. I still say Hugo Strange, that story is still on the table. And I say somehow Selina Kyle and Bane will play into that movie somehow. I don't know exactly how, but I don't see Hugo Strange coming in and being the villain right from the beginning of the movie. Much like Ken said, in Dark Knight, the first thing he dealt with
was Scarecrow.
And not only Scarecrow, but the organized crime people, you know, for the first at least 20 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And it was only, you know, after Nolan showed the frustration that the organized crime people were feeling that he introduced the Joker as a solution.
Right.
So I'm not saying that it's going to play the same way, but I'm saying it certainly could play in a sense that we could see Batman dealing with other people and Hugo Strange being observing this in the news or something that kind of brings Hugo into it later in the picture and then makes Hugo the problem.
All right. Well, I guess it's early and we'll see.
Definitely a wait and see on that front. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just going to be Catwoman as the main villain. It's just going to be all wrong no matter what we say.
Bane's going to be a midget.
One more frustration on that is Twitter blew up with a lot of anti-Hathaway sentiment and in some cases anti-Hardy sentiment for some reason. Why, I don't know. And not for nothing, I suggest everyone reserve judgment, because I remember on this very podcast, I expressed heavy, heavy distaste for one Heath Ledger.
I think we all did at the beginning. We were all concerned.
I think you were the only one who was kind of on the fence and a little bit supportive, at least, while we were saying, hell no.
Right.
And we saw how that panned out. So definitely reserve judgment on at least the casting until the film is in front of you.
Well, two things on that, Ken. One, it was Batman producer Michael Uslan who put us at rest by giving us a statement that basically said, trust me,
right,
you're going to love this. And I was like, okay. And then we did, and then we did.
You know who else he put the rest?
And the second comment was,
terrible.
Too soon.
I'll tell you why the Twitter has exploded with hate. It's because haters hate. That's it. And they just need something to hate. And what could you possibly hate about Anne Hathaway? She's a good actress, a good performer, and she's hot.
As I was saying earlier, she's one of the very few, like, truly, she's truly, truly classy.
She's big, dark cat eyes.
Awesome. She's an awesome choice, I think.
I mean, it's,
you
know, just...
You have her, or who's the other choice? Kristen Stewart?
No.
Come on.
Ugh. All right. Sticking with Batman-related news, what would have been the somewhat big Batman news story this week if that hadn't broke, is that Darren Aronofsky, in an interview earlier this week, said that they are doing a comic book adaptation of the script that he originally presented when we thought that he might be the one that was going to relaunch this franchise.
Right.
And his
so they're going to do a comic adaptation of his script of Batman Year One.
His exact quote was, it hasn't really been announced. I don't know if I should give you the scoop to the people he was talking to at the time, but we're getting there. We're doing a comic book of a Batman script that's really hard to make. And we're going to do a comic version first and then see what happens from there. It seems like if you come up with an original script in Hollywood, it's not as effective as a comic book. Well, some people interpreted the second half of that statement that we're going to do it first and see what happens from there as, you know, maybe Aronofsky would inherit the franchise after Nolan.
I
don't think that's a likely scenario.
I have a question on that, though. Is he absolutely quoted as uttering the words Batman in that interview? Because I was under the impression he was being very low under the radar about we're working on a script. It's real quiet. I can't get too into the details, but we're going to adapt it into a graphic novel first and go that route.
I thought so.
I don't recall him actually uttering the B word.
I thought he did. I mean, I when I grabbed the quote from online, the B word was in there. Maybe it was improperly put in there. But
one thing is for certain is I don't think Darren Aronofsky is going to be taking over for Chris Nolan, because I think, with respect, it's like apples and oranges. Yeah, I totally agree. Wise.
Right.
You do agree?
I agree. I absolutely agree.
You don't agree. And so I really don't think Darren Aronofsky is the one that's going to step in here when Chris Nolan steps out. And the popular theory is that Chris Nolan is going to continue to produce these movies.
Right.
But he's himself is not going to direct. So, he's going to have a guy in there who he can heavy-handed.
His brother?
Yeah, maybe.
Isn't his brother the one that's doing the Superman reboot?
Is he directing the Superman?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet, but. That's interesting. As long as it's not Bryan Singer or the Rat, I don't care.
Let's talk about some photos that popped up this online this week. We'll start with Andrew Garfield in costume as the new. I love how they're calling it the yet to be titled upcoming Spider-Man movie.
Yeah,
well, I don't know why it still has yet to be titled.
Spider-Man.
Why can't we just
again.
Go with Spider-Man for now and leave it
I'm
at
calling
that?
It Spider-Man again.
A couple of important things about this costume. First, I don't hate it. I kind of like it.
Okay.
Although, I would like to see the mask. I think there's a lot to be said about what the final mask looks like.
Right.
And we still haven't seen that. And there's always a concern that the mouth is going to look goofy or, the one thing I have
what
to say
mouth?
About those. Yeah, I know. I understand that. But the one thing I'm always concerned with is that. And I have to say that the original trilogy of Spider-Man movies, I really liked that costume. I thought the costume was good. And I thought the mask and how it was handled was well. The other thing we have to say about the costume is that it would appear. And then as confirmed in an interview later with Emma Stone, that the web slingers are mechanical.
Yeah.
Yay!
Which is an answer to the really big complaint, if you will, about the first trilogy of movies, if you will, was the fact that the web shooters were not mechanical.
They were, and you know what? Everybody got over it by the time that the second movie started. But
By the time you're halfway through the first movie,
you don't care.
No one cared anymore. Mm.
But I will say, I really, really like the mechanical web slingers, and I like the problems that poses. I like the possibility that it creates for Peter Parker to actually create the web slingers himself.
Right.
Hopefully, I don't know. I mean.
I think they're web shooters.
Whatever. Web shooters.
He is the web slinger.
He is the web slinger. They are the web shooters.
Utilizing shooters.
I'm happy with that. I like that.
That costume looks vaguely Ultimate to me.
You know what? To me, it felt a little bit Ultimate, and it kind of, and maybe it's just my ill recollection, but it felt a little 2099 to me too. Like some sort of weird hybrid between.
Right.
2099 and Ultimate.
Well, they're killing Spider-Man in the Ultimate books.
Yes, I've heard that.
So it's this big thing, Death of Spider-Man, and they're promoting it like it's actually Spider-Man, the one that's been around forever.
Right.
And it's actually just the shitty Ultimate one.
Right, right.
It's like the universe where they can kill anybody because they can promote like they're killing a character that people care about.
Which is a shame because the Ultimate Spider-Man for a long time was really good.
Mm-hmm.
When it first started, it was really good.
Was sharp out of the
much
gate.
Better than
I enjoyed it.
Much better than Amazing at the time. Amazing at the time was the Straczynski stuff. The Ultimate stuff was the Bagley Bendis stuff, and I thought it was
Clone Saga.
No, it was post Clone Saga.
Was it post Clone
Saga? Sticking with Spider-Man though, J. Jonah Jameson, not in the new movie. Daily Bugle in the movie.
But no
Jonah Jameson.
Wait, I thought they were scrapping the Bugle thing, too.
No, because
how can you have a Bugle without J. Jonah Jameson?
Because actually, if you saw, there were a couple of photos that leaked in the last couple of days that were actually some filming photos.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the shots, there's a Daily Bugle van.
So the Daily Bugle, let's say, exists, but potentially he may not be working for it, is what we're looking at.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, we're probably, what we're seeing here is a really, really, like, first couple of days Spider-Man story, one assumes. And if that's the case, he doesn't have to be at the Beagle necessarily quickly.
Right.
Right.
I could be wrong, but doesn't he get the job at the Beagle in the book because he produces photographs of Spider-Man that no one else produces?
Yeah, originally it was he needed the money and he realized that he could photograph Spider-Man like nobody else could.
Right.
Obviously. And I think he took them and got them. I don't think he started off there.
Right.
Like he did in the new set of movies. So there's that.
I gotta say, if there's ever a carryover, J.K. Simmons, I would love to see him come back. He was
that role. Yeah, absolutely.
He stole that the movie. Stole all those movies.
I just can't imagine them doing that because that would be almost kind of connecting the two.
Yeah,
and you don't want to do it.
I don't want to do that. And I thought we had heard somebody was. Didn't we announce somebody had been cast in that role in the movie?
We had heard some rumors that John Slattery from Mad Men,
right,
was going to step into that role, but. They have pretty much confirmed today that J. Jonah Jameson not in the
movie.
So who knows? All right. Other photos that have popped up online.
Uh-huh.
X-Men First Class. Interesting cast photo.
Interesting photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of them I like. I'm not entirely sure who all the characters are. Is that poor on my part? I mean, I know who Mystique is, and I hate it. She looks terrible. I don't like Beast's face that much. Although, Beast's face reminds me a little of... Who was the artist working on X-Men at the time that did the feline Beast?
Oh, that was...
whose art I really, really like.
Yeah. Was that Frank Quietly?
Yes, it was Frank Quietly. He looks a little Frank Quietly.
Was he the writer
to me.
At the time? I don't remember.
So that era. In the one shot, there's Beast, Havoc, Angel.
Angel?
Yeah, but it's a female. It's Angel Salvador. She must be new. And then it's I see Mystique and Professor X. Professor X looks like he is barely out of college, which I guess makes sense. And then in the other shot is January Jones as Emma Frost, which I will say, by the way, I think is actually the best costume choice that I've seen. Magneto, who I don't really care that much for. And Moira McTaggart, who I also think is really good. I think the costume on Moira McTaggart is really good also.
Moira has no powers.
No, but we knew that she was going to be part of the team.
Okay.
The only thing is, I thought Havoc was in this movie. Was I incorrect in that assumption? And I don't see him in this photo.
Well, here's a question overall, because I've only got a glimpse of what you had over there, and I haven't seen the rest of those photos, but are these actually confirmed 100% legit from the studio as well, or do we have the potential of a good fan
job here?
There is
some speculation, but I think they first appeared with The Hollywood Reporter. I could be wrong on that, but I think there's a strong possibility that they're accurate. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, if they are just Photoshop jobs, I don't know. Some of them are terrible, but some are pretty damn good.
Mm.
Again, I think honestly, costuming wise, I think Emma Frost looks the best. And character wise, I think, I don't know.
I don't like any of them.
Okay.
I mean,
I like the overall design.
Okay.
Kinda. And I mean, not just cause her boobs are fantastic, but it does look like Emma Frost. I mean, it's very, you know, reminiscent of Emma Frost. So I enjoy that. I mean, it's not the corset, so it's not traditional, but.
Well, it's 69. Oh, well, that would.
She would have been in the corset, matter. Right?
That wouldn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
There were corsets in what, like 1269.
Yeah, exactly.
So wouldn't be a problem. I just don't really dig this picture.
And
so
a correction, Havoc is in that picture, by the way. So
yeah, with the circle on his chest.
Yeah, I somehow missed that when I was looking, because I was looking at this as broken up so I could see bigger shots of it, and he's kind of cut out. So
this throws. Yeah, I just. Meh.
Okay. Well, with all of that being said, I think it's probably time to take our first break.
Okay, we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 216, Drawing the Line.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Yo, what's going on? It's Aaron Magruder, the creator of the Boondocks. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Holla at your man Kev. Later.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 216, Drawing the Line. It's rare. I remember it. I know.
I know. It's been actually more than 4 seconds. Too,
I know. So. It's a whole conversation and like it's something of bacon. I don't know. Anyway.
Tune in to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the SiriusXM experience, to hear more about what we are talking about when we say bacon. Bacon. So, yeah.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
All right.
DVDs.
Couple of DVDs this week. There are a handful that you're going to want to pick up, and then maybe some you don't care about.
I didn't pick any up, so I'm upset, really.
Well, you're going to want to pick this up. Absolutely, 100%. And Ken, you might even want to pick this up. Justified, the complete first series, on DVD this week.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, have either of you actually seen Justified? I have not.
Completely missed it.
No, I missed it completely.
We've all missed it. Oh, good.
So,
a lot of good things said, but I missed it entirely.
Yeah, I heard it was really, really good. Yeah, I am definitely interested.
Now, is it a Western...
It's modern day.
It's modern day, okay,
but it's based on
like
modern
in
day
Texas
Western. You're looking
or
at
whatever.
Yeah, you're looking at modern day Western kind of feel.
And it's Timothy Oliphant, so of course. You know, how could you go wrong?
Exactly.
Merlin, the complete second series.
Meh.
No,
shan't be picking that up.
Buried out on Blu-ray this week.
Is that the Ryan Reynolds?
That is the Ryan Reynolds project, and I actually did want to see that. I heard some
good
decent
stuff
things
there
about
too.
It. So
a lot of good stuff.
Something I don't want to see, Marvel Knights, Black Panther.
You mean The Man Without Fear?
Oh, no, that's not what they're calling it. No,
Black
this
Panther,
DVD
the Man
is
Without
Marvel
Fear.
Marvel Knights, Black Panther.
Oh, I'm confused.
Not that. And I think that's really it.
Oh, so really not that many.
Yeah, not a ton this week. Just
I'd say Buried and Justified, probably the two.
Yeah,
those are the biggies.
Buried and Justified are definitely the two heavy hitters this week.
Yeah.
So.
Geek Stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comical books.
Are there any comical books to discuss?
There are, actually. We will recommend for your single-issue pleasure this week, Batman 706. Of course, this is continuing that DC sort of white cover with just the character.
Can I say I hate that?
I don't know why they're doing that.
I was in the comic book store
memo
last week, right? And they're all on the shelf next to each other, and it just looks like shit.
That's a variant cover as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, Marvel did that early in the, when Garth Ennis brought Punisher back, they did the variant cover of just the Stark white with the Punisher, but
I'm not saying the art isn't good. The cover arts, I mean, the artists themselves are, but just there's no dynamic to it. It's just kind of, but anyway, I'm sorry.
This is written, penciled, and the cover is also by Tony S. Daniel. Great stuff happening here inside this book, Batman. This is a extension of the Riddler story that has been taking place in the last few months. And you're going to want to check that out. You're going to also want to check out possibly X-Men Legacy 244. Now, why should you check this out? Well, one, because for me, I'm trying my damnedest not to abandon the Marvel books that I enjoyed as a child. And
you're better than me.
I hear you. So give it a whirl. Check it out. The story is pretty good. You can kind of jump in here a little bit, sort of. So you can check that out. Those are really the only two single issues that we'll be recommending this week. A couple of trades to recommend. First is Star Wars Omnibus, A Long Time Ago, Volume 3. And what this reprints is issues 50 through 67 and the King Size Annual number 2 of the Marvel Comics Star Wars series from the 80s. And for those of you counting, that's nearly 500 pages in this Omnibus Volume 3. You can pick up Volumes 1 and 2. I think this actually finishes the Marvel Star Wars stories. I think it does. I really, really think it does. And it's terrific stuff. If you like your old school Star Wars stuff, you're going to really dig this book. It has a lot of those things. Marvel did a lot of stuff in their Star Wars comics that people today are going, what? And that Lucasfilm is having to back explain or outright deny in corrections that
is
have
that
happened
stuff
since.
Is that stuff considered canon, though? I thought it was all like expanded universe, not canon.
Actually, I don't think the Marvel comics are considered canon, but there are occasionally things in there that they do consider canon. So as an overall, I'd say probably not, but I think there are certain things come out of this. Like some of the Mandalorian characters, I think, that actually came out of Marvel have been used in other places, but they started in this stuff, I think. So it's going to be stuff like that. Pieces of this and pieces of that.
So you're saying the cool stuff Lucas likes, he just shoehorned into the new universe and
I think
everything else is bunk?
I think that's kind of the way that it worked. Mm. I wouldn't say that's exactly the way that it worked, but that's kind of the way that it worked. Something I've been looking forward to for a while from our friends over at Dark Horse. This is BPRD Plague of Frogs 1. Now, let's be clear about what this is. This is actually the first collected volume of BPRD stories, and it contains stories from Hellboy, Box Full of Evil, Abe Sapien, Drums of the Dead, BPRD Hollow Earth, Dark Horse Extra, which they had some BPRD stuff in there, BPRD The Soul of Venice, BPRD Dark Waters, BPRD Night Train, BPRD There's Something Under My Bed, and the BPRD Plague of Frogs comic book series issues 1 through 5. So you're getting a whole bunch of different BPRD stuff, some of which, like that Dark Horse Presents stuff, has never been reprinted. So you're getting that for the first time. This is a companion to your Hellboy collected series that we've talked about on this program. Hardcover hardcover collection. I guess it's collectible from that perspective. This is a really thick book. What are you guessing on pages here, OG?
I'm going to say 5 1/4.
I'm going to say I don't know the real answer, but it's a lot. I mean, it is a lot of pages. Let's see. Okay. OG, what was your guess?
5 1/4.
No, sir, you're incorrect. It is actually 406 odd pages, including sketchwork, layouts, and other special additional things that they put in these sorts of collections. And it's going to run you $34.99. Not bad. $35 for a whole bunch of great BPRD stuff in here. Like I said, this is a nice companion piece to your Hellboy collections. Now, I want everybody to keep these things in their head. 400 pages.
Right.
Odd. In color, beautifully done, hardbound book.
Nice.
Right? $34.99. Now, I'd like to present to you a Marvel hardcover collection that is also $34.99.
And that is seven pages, right?
$34.99.
No, 7 pages. Is that the page count on that one?
No. It is, first of all, yeah. I mean, I want you to get over your shock. What we're talking about here is the Marvel Man Classic Collection. Hardcover from Marvel. It is going to run you $34.99. And if you pick it up and you accidentally throw it up in the air when you pick it up, it's because, much like the complaints of the series, this book, too, is printed on newsprint, black and white,
holy shit, dude,
paper. Even the reprints of the covers inside, art that was in color is actually in black and white. The only color reprinting in this book is on the cover, and they've actually reprinted the covers of the original Marvel Man comic stories that premiere in this book.
Can I just say something? In this day and age of absolute editions, that is positively inexcusable what is in your hands over there for that price point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Keeping track of the page counts, 144 pages of newsprint, black and white newsprint. And let's say, I'm going to say maybe six, eight, ten pages of color cover reprints in the back. Wow. This is truly an embarrassment, I have to say. Somebody told me today, I was arguing in my local comic recce, that, no, they've printed it on the retro paper. And I almost killed them with the book. Retro paper? Is that what newsprint is? Because I use another word for it, cheap ass. I call it cheap ass paper. Other people apparently, and really tried to get me to think about it. No, look, it's printed on the same, you know, the original kind of paper. Blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. It's on newsprint, which is so cheap, and it's still $35.
Unbelievable.
It's less than half the size of the BPRD trade, and it's $35.
You know where else you can find retro paper? Sewage treatment plants.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say on the roll in my toilet.
Yeah, lining my birdcage. Yeah, I mean, we all know what the paper is used for. Look, I'm going to say this. The Marvel Man stuff is really great. I really like seeing those reprints. I liked reading some of those stories. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's a waste. Don't buy it. I'm saying it flat out. Do not buy the Marvel Man Classic Collection Volume 1 like there would ever be another volume, which I seriously doubt. And OG, you had a book?
I do, yes. You know, on the precipice of my spawn coming into this world in later this year in May. As a gift this Christmas
yes,
time.
Yes, Mr. McFarlane.
Yeah, no, not that kind of spawn. My child, my boy. For Christmas this year.
We know that? Given... We know that, by the way, boy?
Yes, we do know that. It is a boy.
Okay.
For those of you who may not know.
And am I allowed to release the name?
No, you're not allowed to release the name because there is no name yet.
Really? Because my understanding was that that some names had been bandied about.
Banned, perhaps.
I serve, don't know about bandied. I'm not chiming in because I, sir, value my genitals. So
I was under the impression that that there was some geek influence in the naming of your son. Is that true?
We're trying. Fingers crossed.
I'm going to put this out there. Is it still Frodo Washburn? And I won't give the last name because I know you don't like to get your name out there. So Frodo Washburn, your last name.
It is not Frodo Washburn.
Okay. So
as much as I'd like for that to be the case, no, not actually the case. But yeah. So
Bilbo
anyways.
Washburn, was that it?
Yes. Yes, Frodo Washburn Bismimmer.
But, yes, Bismati Rice.
Bismati Rice. So for Christmas this year, I got the, someone in my family got me the Geek Dad book, which is something I did not know existed. But this is a great book just in general.
Okay.
Like, just like even if you don't have kids yet, it's a kind of a fun book. It is filled.
It is a kind of the geek version of what to expect when you're expecting?
No. Actually, this is like projects, games, creative things to do with your children once you have them.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Gotcha.
You know, like science projects and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, there's a bunch of things in here like how to create your very own authentic treasure map.
Ooh,
or, you know,
nice.
Stuff like that. But then there's also the thing that I happened to turn to first when I opened the book, and it
randomly.
Was complete luck. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Parenting with role-playing games. Was the first section.
Okay.
And you use an RPG system to kind of like assign a character to your child.
Okay.
And then they get attributes and skills based on completing tasks.
Okay.
And chores and stuff. And
so this is like a motivational tool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stuff in here that's like motivational, educational. It's really a neat book. I mean, obviously, you know, I won't be able to use this for a couple of years. I don't think I'm going to be RPGing with my child directly out of the womb. Although if I could teach it to roll dice.
Be careful what you wish for, dude, because if this kid pops out and he's a level 40 linebacker, you're in deep shit.
No, that's what Uncle Andy is for.
Uncle Andy.
Uncle Kevin is for that.
Right.
So, Geek Dad, it's based on the Geek Dad blog, which you can check out online too. But this book it's a great little book.
Terrific.
You know, I'm recommending it. And, you know, I'm going to try not to be the all about my kid guy. But occasionally, I might have to bring this kind of stuff to the show if I find it appropriate.
Well,
we've talked about, especially right after Toy Fair, we talk about a lot of stuff that's all age.
No, I think
Twilight Turtle.
I think it's great that you're finding an angle with your child that you can explore the show in a different direction.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Maybe one day he can be a guest on the show.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
So we have PK here tonight.
PK,
yes. To actually discuss something that me and you have discussed before. Me and you were at conferences. You know, we went to press events for.
Yes.
But neither of us are playing this yet.
Only you are the one who's using terrible English, though. Me and you.
You and I. Sorry. DCU, DC Universe Online.
Yes, sir.
A long wait. You can actually go back and find one of our, on our website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, you can actually go back and find an interview we did with Jim Lee on a Studio V maybe 2 years ago.
Yes.
At least
2 years ago about DC Universe Online. And at last, it's here.
And Ken is playing it. Ken, you are playing it for the PS3.
I am on the PS3.
So
that is correct.
You're not going console.
So let's talk about that right as we go. He is going console, sir.
I'm sorry. You're not going PC.
No PC for
right.
me. No.
As of right now and for the foreseeable future, the only people able to play DC Universe Online will be those with a PC, not a Mac.
Right.
And or a PS3.
Correct. So
is disturbing.
I mean, you know, we know the game obviously takes place within the DC universe.
Correct.
Some of our favorite characters from the DC universe play a part in the overall game. But much like an MMO, you're not playing those characters. You're creating your own avatar to...
Your own hero, right?
Yes.
Sorry. You're creating your
you
own
are
hero.
Your own superhero.
Well, do you have to play a superhero?
You can do superhero or supervillain.
Yeah, okay.
You can go either way, and you have mentors on either side of the fence that will, you know, trudge you along. I'm currently on a hero side on a PvP server.
All right.
And, your mentors, I believe, are either Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman out of the gate. I'm sure that will change as things go along. There'll be more
PvP,
mentors available.
PvP is the kind where if you run into another dude on the street, he can kick your ass.
Yeah, I've had
and
that happen.
And vice versa.
Yep. Right. In my explorations of Gotham City, I've run into that. Oops.
Now let me ask you this about the hero villain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you pick from the get go? Is this like Horde Alliance, or is this like Galaxies, where somewhere down the line you can choose to go Jedi or Sith?
I was going to say, actually, using the Star Wars reference, I was going to say, what was the last game, Ken? Star Wars.
Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed.
Because your
yeah.
actions in Force Unleashed determine whether you were going towards the light or the dark.
Right. In this case, you're choosing out of the gate hero versus villain.
Okay, so it's Horde Alliance.
It's more Horde Alliance kind of situation. Now you can certainly, as with any of these kinds of games, you can build a Horde character. You can build a villain character or a hero character and play both. It's certainly, as far as I know, can't play both against each other, of course, but. If you're bored on the hero side, you can certainly get a taste of the villain side as well. I think you can host up to 8 characters. It's either 8 characters total on the PS3 or it's 8 characters per server. I haven't determined what exactly that number is yet.
Yeah, I'm going to say this now and everybody's going to do it. I would make exact matching heroes and villains. Like I would do on the same server. I would make one guy who looks a certain way, and then I would make a villain that looked exactly the same way and give him almost the same name just so you can play off the confusion of others.
Clever. And nice idea. And for the moment that this is published, I plan
Ken's
to be the
already
first.
Doing it.
I plan to be the first tonight because this won't go live for a little bit yet. And then everybody will be doing it shortly thereafter.
Yes.
So nice idea. Slick, you're a thinker.
You know where that comes from? That comes from our days of playing the wrestling games.
That's right.
Where we would create our own wrestlers, and I would create...
Iceberg.
Yes, the Iceberg, of course. Iceberg was on version 6, I think, the last time I actually played any wrestling game. But it was actually not... It was not the Iceberg character, OG. It was my tag team. Remember the tag team? Like, I did them like the machines. They were all in black, but they both had the skull mask and the skull hands.
Yes, I do remember
and
that.
And... back then, you could illegally be in the ring while the computer guy was in, and it was so confusing to people that it actually helped me win matches. It was nice. Pretty funny. And I think that the same thing, might occur in DC Universe if you were to make, you know, kind of mirror image characters.
Right. And the potential snag in that, you certainly wouldn't be able to do the exact name because I think names are pretty unique.
But you would have to do one of those, you know, like Mysterio, but instead of an O, you use the zero.
Right.
At the end. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
See, you have to be clever about it, but you could do it, though. Just give him a numerical name that's really close, like 010101, and then the next guy is 0101010. You know, like, you know, something like that, so that it's really, like, I'm blueprinting this for you, aren't I, Ken?
Pretty much.
I'm furiously writing notes.
I'm not even engaged.
I'm a little upset
point.
Because I'm not going to get to play it unless I get a PS3 at some point.
Right.
Because I'm never going to get a PC again.
Well, you've just answered Mac. Your own question, sir. You need to get yourself a PS3. Is really what
why
you
are they not doing Mac on this? Do
because they're on the Unreal Engine,
and
okay. I don't know if the Unreal Engine runs on Mac. At least that's what my brief.
It may support on an Intel Mac if you're running one of those dual.
Yeah, like Boot Camp.
Yeah.
It might run on Boot Camp, but I haven't heard definitely whether it is or it isn't.
But the OS X Leopard platform, no.
No.
It will not be on that.
Not yet.
Not
and
yet anyway.
They
yeah.
say, they and there are no plans. This is what I keep hearing. There are no plans to cart it to Mac at this time. So, you know, like anything else, it's going to leave all the Mac people who want to play out in the wind for a while unless they have Boot Camp or one of those other... PC emulators and things,
right.
So,
all right, let's talk a little bit more about the game mechanics. I mean, you know, you want to talk about fighting? I mean, you pick. You've played.
Sure. Well,
so.
My MMO career. I mean, I've done the Star Wars Galaxies thing with you guys. You know, I'm not a pro MMO guy, but I've played a lot. I did Star Wars Galaxies, Dark Age of Camelot, World of Warcraft for a good length of time. World of Warcraft was the one I was probably most serious about out of everything. But I'm not the kind of guy, like, I've never been able to get a character up to the max, a level 80
right.
or level 70. I've never had the time to be able to invest in going that far. The nature of my schedule as well. I'm playing when all you guys are, you know, working. So trying to friggin' group or guild with somebody
exactly.
is nigh on impossible. I'm running into that now with DC. I ran into my first quest where I'm like, shit, I got to group with somebody because I can't beat these 9 million people that are coming after me. And I'm a level 6. I just turned level 6 this afternoon.
Woohoo!
You know, so I'm very early in the game. I lost a lot of hours because I spent so much time just flying around the skies of Gotham and taking in the sights. And this is hands down... At least in the PS3 format, there's simply no comparison between PS3 to the PC version. I haven't seen it on an ultra. If somebody's got an ultra souped up gaming PC, like a Mega Machine with a big, nice size screen,
right.
Maybe it looks great. But putting this on the PS3 and having it in front of me on my HD plasma, it is the most lavish, beautiful, gorgeous, amazing MMO I have ever immersed myself in. And it's so easy to just get lost in that aspect of it. I spent 2 hours just floating around and checking shit out.
Right.
It's amazing on that front. Beautiful, beautiful game.
All right.
What about the whole MMO on a console rather than a keyboard PC machine, if you
will. Well, a Bluetooth keyboard is probably a good thing to have. Okay. A headset, a Bluetooth headset. Now, the Bluetooth headset, the microphone stuff, I think is currently a little sticky, but it is they'll get them working, I understand, fairly soon. Expect if you're on a PS3, and I assume on the PC as well, you're going to have to deal with a monumental first patch download before you can even touch the game.
Right.
We set up the game. I threw it in there. It started the big patch. I said, okay, time for dinner. And we left the house for hours and came back, and I was able to play by that time. So expect that, and expect further patches that will further solidify the chat engine. And it's my understanding, on the console version at least, you'll be largely able to engage in more of an open chat. I don't even know that you need to be grouped or be on any kind of a mission or anything like that. I think you can openly chat just out on the street. Correct me if I'm wrong down the line on that, but I haven't experienced yet. I don't know.
Do we know? Are they crossing?
But I caved in on that little mini keyboard thing that goes attaches to the controller. I bought that just to play it safe as well.
Do we know if at this point if they are crossing platforms in multiplayer? So are PS3 people able to play with PC people?
That's been alluded to. I just don't know how possible that's going to be. That remains to be seen as far as I can tell.
So that's not happening right now?
Not that I know of, no.
So you're playing online with people. You're playing with PS3
people. I'm assuming it's PS3 people at this point. One of our fair friends, Pavarnik.
Rob.
Yeah, he's on the PC version, and apparently we can't link up at the present time. So that may be subject to change, and certainly would be awesome. But the question, you know, remains, this is, you know, it's a PC game only at this point, and PS3. What are the odds of you getting Microsoft to talk to Sony to make that happen and unite so you can cross-platform like that? I would, if it were an Xbox title, absolutely. I don't know so much on the PS3 front that they would make that happen.
Now, obviously, they're not guilds, but like, are there teams? Like, can you join a team?
You set up a league, like your own little Justice League, and there's several of those bouncing around now. You know, some I've seen a Justice JUSTISS league, and that's the kind of stuff that's getting a little like immediately frustrating. Like, I've already run into Batman BATT, and I'm like, dude, have some creativity for Christ's sake!
Right, a little bit of uniqueness.
Well, he put an extra T in.
Yeah, of course.
Speak to me.
I did, however, run into Mark Sanchez. Of New York Jets fame, and that was rather hilarious. But outside of that, you know, for the most part, I'm seeing large amounts of creativity and the customizability, if there is such a word,
customization
of your characters is. I mean, I'm seeing everyone I've run into is basically unique. You can really get into the nitty gritty of the colors of your costuming and all that, and what you choose for your character to wear.
That I've always found to be one of the best parts of but a lot of the MMOs, especially since we're talking about hero MMOs. When we first were introduced to, what was that one called?
City of Heroes.
The best thing about City of Heroes was the hero generator. I mean, the game stunk, but the best part about it, I think, was the hero generator. And if that's the case with the DC game, that's terrific, because that means that, you know, one of the things I think that was fundamentally questionable that people were talking about early on is, what sort of heroes are you going to be able to generate? Mm-hmm. You know, is it basically going to be guys running around as, you know, like a green Batman or a Superman in black and blue, or, you know, stuff like that?
There's a wide, wide, wide variety of stuff that you can do with your character. And the other nice thing is, I don't know if this has been introduced in any other MMO prior, but you can lock your styles. So down the line, you know, you start mounting gear, you start getting armor, you start getting all this stuff, and then it takes a very little amount of time for your character to look nothing like what you started with. And I put in a lot of work to customize my character to be the way I wanted him to be, and to have that be null and void within the first like two or three quests, because you're loaded up with all this new gear that's souping you up, and you look like a shadow of what you were. It's nice that you can lock your styles. You're still getting the benefit of the equipment that you have, but you're holding on to your original concept.
Look. That's really
which is very nice.
Yeah, that's a nice item.
Speak to me quickly on the fighting mechanics, because that was the other thing that I had some, you know, how does that work? Is it like encounter turn-based? Is it like you see them on the screen? Is it random run-in?
It's bears similarities to your basic MMO, where you get into an area and you got to grind a little bit.
Right.
Working on, you know, beating Scarecrow's gang. But there's a lot of little, it plays like a console game. So you're not like standing there. What I ran into with WoW is, okay, it's time for me to kill, some I don't know, Bandit or whatever, and it's, okay, I'm standing there, and I hit a function key, and that fires off some kind of spell. And then he takes a swing at me. And then I take a swing at him. And then he takes a swing at me, and eventually someone dies. This plays more console-like, so you have more control over that. You know, you can duck and dodge and get out of the way. It's feels less turn-based and more... It's more simultaneous. Like, I'm getting into it, and I'm swinging a staff around and taking, you know, Scarecrow's gangs out. But you can really duck and dodge, and it's just more...
So more alive feel than
yes, more it's really happening more in the moment, and the intensity I think is better, and I have a better feel. I'm getting less bored, frankly,
right?
Because you can whip out combos on guys now, and all that sort of thing. That it's more engaging than how I used to deal with things in WoW, where it was a couple keystrokes. Like, you really got to move and play it like a console.
So does one assume then you're fighting Scarecrow's gang? At some point you will face Scarecrow?
At some point I'm going to end up having to face Scarecrow. I think I'm ramping up to that right now, but I need to round up some friends to go into the sewers and help me out.
Gotcha.
One of the missions I've been working with right now, which is where it's also fun and unique, is you've got to give the fear antidote to people that are running around screaming.
Right.
So you run into somebody who's running around screaming, but then somebody is starting to attack you, so you got to deal with that person, and then you've got to hold, you know, the circle button for a span of like maybe 5 seconds to heal that person, and then in true MMO fashion, you've got to, you know, give the antidote to, say, 10 people. So you got your little counter in the corner, 1 of 10, 2 of 10, 3 of 10, and go on until you complete the quest as normal, return back to whoever you were talking to, or just hit complete in your little journal, and you score your experience, and so on and so forth. But it's very intuitive. I'm after I got through the initial thrill of flying all over Gotham City and finding the bat signal, which is a lot of fun. After I got through all of that and started getting a feel and getting the coordination down for the mechanics of the game itself, it's really I'm feeling a lot more better and much more engaged than WoW. I got bored with WoW very, very quickly, and this is not the case so far with me.
Well, it sounds really exciting, and I'd love to get a hold of it and play it, but I need a PS3, I think, in order to do that.
Yes, you do.
I think so. Yes,
I do agree. And my influence to you, Mr. OG, is spreading. I will have you on this game at some point down the line, because
so you say.
You were the one that dragged me down into Star Wars Galaxies. You dragged me down into WoW. I owe you a favor by this time.
Didn't OG vow he's never going to pay for another MMO? I mean, like the monthly fees, isn't that what you said?
Yeah. That's the biggest detractor at this point, is I don't want to pay the monthly fee for the.
And I think if I read it correctly, it's about what, $78 for 6 months.
Well, it's $15 a month you're looking at,
or
they may have a discount for if you buy a larger month package. But
well, they have a lifetime.
Oh, they didn't they scrap the lifetime on the PS3
no,
though? Or was that
I don't know
that a
about on the PS3. I looked online today at pricing, and I saw. It was like $199. It was about $200 for a lifetime, and then a little asterisk for the life of the game. So if the game lasts 6 months, you've paid $200 for 6 months.
Yeah, there's no reason to buy in on that. I think there was a controversy, unless they've tweaked it, but there was something to do with some kind of BS about the wallet limitations on the PS3. You can only put so much into your wallet, and it didn't cover the lifetime, so they've supposedly scrapped the lifetime for the PS3 as a result. That may have changed, I don't know, but that was a big thorn in a lot of people's side.
And I found that very interesting, the whole lifetime thing. I thought that was very interesting. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if they had a World of Warcraft lifetime thing at the peak of playing Warcraft, I would have definitely bought into lifetime.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I've spent more than that on WoW at this point already. So.
Yeah, there comes a point where it would pay for itself. This game is too new to really dive into a lifetime, because you don't know about the longevity of this. I hope it sticks around. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and I'm loving every moment of it. So I'm really truly hoping it sticks around, but it's just a matter of getting it to catch on. This console versus PC platform. If they can get both of those things talking to each other, then this I think will be the MMO to.
It would be a game changer, huh?
It would totally change the face of the game.
So Ken, I have to ask you: are you going to bail on this when Knights of the Old Republic comes along? The Old Republic. It's just called Star Wars: The Old Republic.
That remains to be seen. I got to be honest. I am so goddamn Star Wars jaded anymore. that I really, I have zero care for anything involving a lightsaber these days.
Oh, I'm telling you, the more I see about this game, the more I'm like, I'm really going to be in trouble if that's only PC or
it looks
PS3.
Nice, but I think I'm more of a more hero-minded, and I'm so tired of George Lucas and the small child that he's giving birth to in his chin, and I'm
what's,
just done with the games.
What's the price point on the game? For PS3 or for PlayStation.
This is
the other thing that
I know is turning people away, and it almost turned me away as well, because it's a standard PS3 game price for the disc. You're
like
going to spend $60.
$60, right?
$60 for the game that includes a month free,
right,
of playtime. To be honest, that's for folks that are
so
the PS3 crowd, right. you're looking at people that are console gamers, they're Call of Duty people,
right.
They're Red Dead Redemption people, and so on and so forth. The MMOs on consoles, I mean, they tried it with EverQuest and it was terrible. When have there been any other attempts at MMOs on a console of this magnitude?
That I'm aware of, no.
No. So it's a very new world for people that are in the PS3 world. You know, so to try and flip some of these folks that have been used to doing Call of Duty and first-person shooters and
right.
you name it, you know, it's to try it out is costly. You're going to spend $60 on the game,
right.
and then if you decide you don't like it, you can't resell this thing. You know, comes
right.
with the activation code. It's done, just like any other MMO. So it's an investment, and it's a little sketchy. There's no trial versions, and that could make or break it.
Do you know if the PC version also about $60?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think they're similarly priced. Well. And so you're in the same boat either way. But like I said, from the people in the PC world understand MMOs. People on PC are buying an MMO. They know what an MMO is. They've played WoW. They've
right.
played whatever. They know what they're getting into. But to tap into that console market is really going to be interesting. How this progresses.
Yeah,
and I hope
yeah.
it does.
It's going to force people to play to get PlayStations. I think if they want to play this, or
mm-hmm.
I mean, we know the other big one is going to be Star Wars when it
right.
eventually comes. So.
And I can't recommend the PS3 enough, because I've seen it in action on PCs and in demos in various stores and at a friend's place. And there's no comparison in quality. The quality is just visually is so much better. Maybe it's because it's on an HD big giant TV screen in my living room. I don't know, but I think that's the way truly to experience DC
right.
Universe is PS3 HD TV. That's the way to go.
Well, there it is. Check out DC Online, brand new MMO where you're hopping around in your own superhero suit in the DC Universe. It sounds like a lot of fun and. I'm regretting the fact, at least at the moment, that I can't play. So, with that, OG, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 216, Drawing the Line.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair, the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey, on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodalolly.
Yes, all shows are Saturday night at midnight, uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7, and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think,
and
some rice, maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, the king of cult films, live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
I died so many years ago. You can make me feel like it isn't so.
Hello, this is James Masters.
And you're what? Shocked and disappointed? I'm evil.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Help me out here, Spark. I don't speak loser.
The coolest stuff around.
And you can't tell the ones you love. You know they couldn't deal.
What the fuck is that?
is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 216, Drawing the Line.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Batman, 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 Selena Kyle and Bane in the upcoming film, and Darren Aronofsky. Is he actually adapting a comic book from a script? We don't know. Also, we talked about some photos of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, the mechanical web shooters, and X-Men First Class photos.
We didn't get to talk about the Captain America photos, which is too
we
bad.
Didn't.
Next week.
I don't know. We could have talked about them, but yeah. We could have.
Tune in. SiriusXM Experience.
In DVDs tonight, we talked about Justified, the complete first season out on Blu-ray. Also, the other big one you want to pick up, Buried, on Blu-ray this week as well.
Mm-hmm. In comics, we talked about X-Men Legacy 244 and Batman 706, not necessarily in that order. We also talked about the first BPRD collection, if you will. It's a collection of many stories, we should say, Volume 1. It's going to run you about $35 from Dark Horse. It's awesome. Has a whole bunch of BPRD exciting stuff in it. On the flip side, a book we're not recommending anyone needs to pick up is the Marvel Man Classic Volume 1. Half the size on dirty newsprint paper for the same price as 500 pages of BPRD. I think it's a pretty clear choice what you want to get there. And it's the BPRD book. And also from Dark Horse, it's the Star Wars Omnibus, a long time ago, Volume 3, reprinting the Marvel Comics Star Wars stories from the 80s.
We also talked a little bit about the Geek Dad book. You can check that out. Geekdadbook.com, I believe, is the website. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of those good places.
And in product tonight, we talked about the brand new MMO DC Universe Online. PK was here giving us his impressions, his experiences, and so on and so forth. We're going to be keeping an eye on this to see exactly how it develops and if it does last, you know, a while. There's some wild speculation out there that, you know, it may not do so well, but let's give it a shot and we'll see.
I'll keep you guys updated on my perspective and adventures in there as well if things change.
Okay.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, a bunch of Studio V's, new one coming. Actually, probably new one by the time
by
you
the
hear
time
this.
You're hearing this, there's a brand new Studio V to check out.
Also, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, over at Twitter, @BKGeekStuff, and if you want to follow me, @GeekStuffOG, also over there. The GVM line, 425-920-6050, if you feel like giving us a call and leaving us some messages, you want to correct us, you want to ask a question, we'd love to hear from you, and maybe you'll hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And don't forget the brand new large, full-color DC Drawing the Line at $2.99 poster. We're going to be giving that away to a random caller to the GVM line this week.
Now, do they have to contribute something, or can they just be like GVM, Draw the Line poster?
They have to call a GVM line and go, "I am drawing the line."
All right, there you go. I am drawing the line. That's the phrase that pays.
The phrase that pays, yeah. I am drawing the line.
And maybe they want to leave a contact info or something too.
Yes, possibly.
No. No, no, they have to listen the following week or they lose.
No. Right. You want to give the phrase that pays, which is gaze, I'm drawing the line and some contact.
And we're going to say that this contest, we will pick the winner the week of the first week in February. So you have until February 2nd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to leave that message.
Yep.
I'm drawing the line.
I'm drawing the line. I think that's it.
I think so.
And so I will end this podcast, as we end all Big Kev's Geek Stuff podcasts, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on. over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star. Yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.